Luke chapter 15, our study for this morning, resonates with me because the older I get, the more time I spend looking for lost things. Maybe some of you can identify. Luke 15 speaks of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Henry Howley, in his handbook, said this about Luke 15. It is a glorious picture of the Heavenly Father and His angels welcoming home returning souls. Jesus' desire to reach out to the hopeless, to reach out to sinners, brought Him into opposition with the religious leaders who had nothing but contempt for them. In contrast, Jesus' mission was to reach out to the lost. So Jesus told three parables in chapter 15 of Luke to refute the attitude of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, to show God's concern for the salvation of sinners. He told the parables of the lost sheep and lost coin and lost son. The setting for all three parables is found in verses 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." We have a contrast between the Pharisees' attitude toward sinners and Jesus' attitude. We see it, Jesus' attitude, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, where we read this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." The Pharisees, however, had just the opposite attitude. They would not associate with the wicked. The teaching in these parables is that God is vitally concerned with the salvation of sinners. All three parables speak of something or someone being lost and then found and rejoicing which accompanied the finding. The first parable is in verses 3 to 7, where God is the shepherd who searches for lost sheep. In the parable, the lost sheep is the tax collectors and sinners, whereas the 99 is the Pharisees. We read, "Then Jesus told them this parable, 'Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." The parable depicts the helplessness and distress of the sinner. A shepherd counted his sheep at the close of each day. If any was missing, he searched immediately, searched persistently until he was successful in finding it. However, the Pharisees thought themselves righteous. They thought themselves better than tax collectors and sinners. They were self-righteous. They needed repentance, that is, a change of mind, a change of direction in their lives. They were self-sufficient. They trusted in their own righteousness. They didn't see their need. One writer said, "A repentant sinner who understands the grace and mercy of God is always more pleasing to God than the Pharisee, proud, critical, unloving, however correct he may be in his moral behavior." The second parable in verses 8 to 10 is the parable of the lost coin. Here the lost coin is equivalent to the tax collectors and sinners. We read this, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The 10 silver coins were 10 drachmas, equivalent to the Roman denarius, each one worth a day's wages. So the point of the parable is that this is something very valuable. Some believe it may have been part of her dowry. Harry Ironside says this: these pieces of silver were joined together in a chain and given by the husband to seal the marriage ceremony. They were worn across the wife's forehead and valued as a wedding ring is among us. If one coin should be lost, it was thought to indicate the wife's unfaithfulness to the husband. So she lights a lamp. She sweeps the dirt floors looking for the coin and finds it. The emphasis in this parable is the thorough search for the lost one. The emphasis here is that the coin was very valuable to her. It depicts how precious a lost soul is in the sight of God. These ones Jesus was reaching out to were very valuable to God. These sinners were extremely valuable to God. God is the Creator whose image is stamped upon human beings. Well, if shepherds are so concerned for sheep, and if a woman is so concerned for a coin, why is it surprising that God cares for his immortal creatures? That leads us to the third parable in verses 11 to 32. God is the loving Father who waits and looks for the return of his lost children. In the parable, the Father is God the Father. The prodigal are the tax collectors and sinners. The elder brother is the Pharisees. We read in verses 11 and 12, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." A son could claim his share of the estate during his father's lifetime if he wished, and that's what this son does. In verses 13 to 16, we find that he squandered his wealth in riotous, wasteful, profligate living. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, verse 13 tells us, set off for a distant country. There he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. The pods were long beans, sweet to the taste, often part of the diet of the poor, but no one would even give him food. He was disillusioned. That's what sin does to a person. It causes disillusionment and suffering and slavery and despair. It promises pleasure, but in the end it destroys. Verse 17, he comes to his senses. He said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. In claiming that he was not worthy, he shows the depths of his repentance," one writer said. He rehearses what he will say to his father. He has come to the end of himself. He has realized his need. What is the father's response? The latter part of verse 20, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Once again, we see celebration in a lost sinner coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and the rejoicing. The father, while he is a long way off, saw him. The father was looking for him. Do you notice that? How many times, I wonder, had that father gazed down that road looking for his lost son? When he returns, repentant, He prepares a banquet. He gives him a new position signified by his robe and ring and sandals. You see, he had been dead. He had been lost. That's the position of those without God. But the position of those with God is now he is alive and he is found. G. Campbell Morgan said this, "The man away from God is dead. The man restored to God is alive." The second part of the parable, beginning at verse 25, describes the older son's reaction. His reaction, shouldn't surprise us, was the same as that of the Pharisees: jealousy and disgust and bitterness, self-righteousness. He didn't see his own failure. He didn't see his own need of repentance to turn his life around, to give his life to Jesus Christ. Self-righteous people exclude themselves from salvation, for they refuse to see themselves as needy. We see once again in this third parable the theme of rejoicing over the lost being saved. Well, God is the shepherd who looks for lost sheep. He's the creator whose image is stamped upon human beings. He's the father who waits and looks for the return of his lost son. The religious leaders in their self-righteousness didn't see themselves in need of salvation. Warren Wiersbe has said, "Jesus always saw the potential in people. The sheep could be brought back to the flock and bring joy to the shepherd. The coin could be found. The son could return home and lovingly serve his father. There is hope for every sinner because Jesus welcomes everyone." To those of you who are listening this morning, if you haven't yet come to Christ, I beg you to come to Christ, to see your need, to trust him as your Savior, to put your faith in him, not yourself, not religion, not good works, but in Jesus and his finished work at Calvary. And for those of us who know the Savior, may we have the same concern for the lost that God does.